Reino considered Sea Blanket's words for several seconds. He'd been a bit concerned himself from time to time about the possibility of Corus's seeking some arrangement with Caleb. After all, the Earl was in a position to deliver Prince Divan to Corus, and Caleb, and Charlian, damn her soul, had to be aware of how valuable a counter Divan had become. On the other hand, any attempt to hand the youthful prince over to Corus would be fraught with difficulty and danger, and Corus couldn't possibly be unaware of what Mother Church would do to him if he made such an attempt and failed. Yet Reino hadn't fully considered the other 2 points Sea Blanket had just raised. It truly was unlikely Caleb, and especially Charlian, would ever repose an ounce of trust in the Earl of Corus. For one thing, Charlian was never going to forget that Corus had been Hector's spymaster when her father was killed, that it was Corus who'd actually arranged to hire the mercenary pirates responsible for King Salus's death. And even leaving that consideration aside, there was Sea Blanket's assessment of Corus's estimate of who was ultimately going to win this war. Unless something happened to catastrophically shift the balance of power between the two sides, Corus couldn't possibly win against Mother Church. It was conceivable, little though Reino liked to admit it, that an independent Corus might survive Mother Church's ire, but nothing short of divine intervention could create circumstances under which Corus could actually defeat the Church and its effectively limitless resources. From everything he'd ever seen or heard about the Earl of Corus, the man was certainly smart enough to have reached the conclusions Sea Blanket had just described to him. And a man who'd lost everything he'd spent his life building had to be thinking in terms of restoring at least a little of what had been taken from him. "It's certainly worth bearing in mind," the Archbishop told himself. "All my reports on Corus suggest Sea Blanket's right when he says the Earl is far smarter than James, which means he's a lot less likely to be tempted to do something outstandingly stupid. Leaving him right where he is as Divan's guardian could be the smartest thing we could do, always assuming Sea Blanket's reading of his character is reliable." He thought about it for a few more moments, then gave a mental shrug. Trenaire and Clinton would undoubtedly be forming their own opinions about Corus and his reliability over the next few 5 days. They'd probably rely more on their own judgment than on any outside advice, but it would be a good idea for Reino to have his own recommendation ready, if it should be asked for. He put that consideration aside, tucking it into a mental pigeonhole for future contemplation, and returned his attention to Sea Blanket. "Those are some very interesting observations, Master Sea Blanket," he conceded. "However, there are several other points I need to discuss with you, and I'm afraid time is pressing onward. So, bearing that in mind, what can you tell me about Prince Divan's own attitude towards Corus?"
"As I've already said, Your Eminence, he's a very young boy whose father has been murdered, and whatever denials Caleb and Charlian may have issued, I don't believe there's any doubt in Divan's mind who was responsible. Under those circumstances, I don't think it's very surprising that he hates and distrusts and fears Caleb with every fiber of his being. It hasn't been difficult for Earl Corus and King James to encourage those emotions, either." Sea Blanket gave another of those tiny shrugs. "Under the circumstances," he said, his tone ever so slightly edged with irony, "encouraging him to feel that way can only contribute to his own chances of survival, of course." He met Reino's gaze yet again, and this time the Archbishop found himself unable to totally restrain an unwilling smile. He was definitely going to have to find future employment for Sea Blanket, he thought. The man was even more perceptive, and even more valuable in an agent, willing to share those perceptions than Reino had expected. "Having said that," the Coruscantian continued, "Divan's also angry enough to be looking for any possible way to hurt Caleb or Corus. Admittedly, he's only a boy, but that won't be true forever. By the time he comes to young manhood, assuming he can avoid Carisian assassins long enough for that, he's going to be fully committed to the destruction of this Carisian empire and all its works. In fact, I think...
Willem Reyno sat back in his chair, listening attentively. He might well have to cancel his next appointment after all, he thought. Given the acuity of Sea Blanket's insight into the inner workings of the Coruscantian court in exile in Tal'Kyrra, it might be very much worthwhile to get the man's impressions of the cities and provinces through which he and Corus had passed on their way to the temple. Reyno had plenty of reports from inquisitors and intendants throughout all of the mainland realms, but Sea Blanket clearly had a sharp and discerning eye, and Corus's rank had been high enough to get Sea Blanket inside the highest circles of the lands through which they had traveled. True, he was only the Earl's valet, but any spymaster knew servants made the very best spies. They saw and heard everything, yet their betters tended to think of them as part of the landscape, little more than animate furniture. All of which meant Sea Blanket's perspective on the reports from Reyno's agents in place could be extremely valuable.
"I really have to keep an eye on this one," the Archbishop told himself, listening to Sea Blanket's report. "Spies who can actually think are too rare and valuable to waste on routine duties."